Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're coming up on the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. And the countdown is now on. We are 30 days away. We'll be doing a show at Penn's Tavern just south of Sunbury on Tuesday the 7th, which is just 29 days away. Come on out and join us for that. And we'll have the tournament on the 8th. We're looking forward to it. And, of course, it's all part of the Purdy family and what they always do. They always give back. So important what, you know, just with being great stewards in the community. And they are. So great to have you with us. Sean went to the Pirates game over, the Phillies game over the weekend, right?
Yeah, there yesterday. Had an awesome time. Roger sends his best to you.
Oh, good. Very good. And I watched some of that game. I'm watching yesterday thinking you guys were there.
Nice old-fashioned pitcher's duel. And Roger and I were going back and forth on it and thinking, yeah, the key, one of the big keys would be Zach Eflin and not getting knocked out early. Seven strong innings. And, yeah, and that starting pitcher, too, from the Twins, not too shabby either.
No, not bad.
Yeah, not bad at all.
And Reese Hoskins with another big hit.
Yeah, the ball kept going up and up and up. I mean, that wasn't a laser shot out of the park, but it just kept carrying and got the home field advantage and dropped right into the flower bed.
That's okay. I think you know how many Fenway Park homers I've seen in my lifetime.
Yes.
There's a drive left field, and it just clears the wall, and we think it's 310 down the line. The sign says 310. When I was a kid, you know what the distance was? The label distance was there? It's 315. You see 310 today. When I was a kid, it was 315 down the line. And believe me, the wall hasn't moved. It's true. The wall, it was 315 when I was a kid. So, yeah, I watched the 7th, 8th, and 9th innings yesterday on TV, you know, thinking that you guys were there. And I thought the way they closed in the 9th, that was impressive. That was impressive the way they closed.
We were kind of debating back and forth as to who was going to come in, but we didn't know that Pat Neshek was not available yesterday since he pitched on Saturday. And it's just this closer by committee. Just wonder how long it's going to take in Gabe's mind, if he has a specific deadline as to how long the committee thing is going to go for ninth inning closer, whether it could be Robertson or whether it could be Neshek if he wants to take on the task or if Sir Anthony gets his head on straight. So.
Well, let's start with the positives today. I want to start with the positives. Too often, the easy way to do these shows is to delve right into the negative, because the negative will be the part that people get juiced up, and those are the conversation pieces. So let's start with the positives, because I don't like getting the positives lost in the wash. Number one, Kyle Guy stepping up and making three free throws. I don't care whether you agree with the call or not, and I thought it was a good call. I thought it was the right call. We'll get to the other call in a little bit. But think about this during this tournament. Carson Edwards had three free throws to win a tournament game, and he is an 84% free throw shooter. He's 84%. He missed the first one, made the next two. Instead of winning, Purdue went to overtime. Okay? Auburn. Let's face it. They were almost eliminated in the first round of the tournament. Kid for New Mexico State got fouled by Auburn. Three free throws. He made one of three. It went to overtime. He makes two of three. It's over. Makes two of three. It's overtime. He hit one of three. He hits all three that New Mexico State wins. Auburn's out first round. He hits two. It's overtime. But he hit one of three, and they lost by one. So for Kyle Guy, in this setting, in a lousy place to shoot, all the football stadiums are lousy places to shoot because the depth perception just is not great. He hits all three. Admits, in a moment of great honesty after the game, he says, look, he's out scared to death up there. Well, give him credit. Stepped up and made all three. Now, that's a big-time positive. Next on the list of positives, Penn State wins the Big Ten Men's Gymnastics Championship. Randy Jepson, Coach of the Year. Congratulations to them. Penn State now number two in the Learfield Cup, in part because of the national championship by the wrestling team. So now number two. So you had all these positives happening this weekend. Now what will garner all the publicity, of course, are the negatives, of which there are several. The double dribble. So many people are saying, I didn't see it right away. Dick and I were texting at the time, Dick Girardi and I. Second it happened, Dick texted me. He said, wasn't that double dribble? And I said, and my response was, it sure was. Because remember, it went off his foot, and he caught it with two hands. And at that point, you're only allowed to do three things. Call a timeout, pass it, or shoot it. So they got away with that. All right. So...
yeah, I was surprised on the CBS telecast. I was waiting for either Grant or Raff to say double dribble. Just wonder if they were thinking of it.
No, and look, I hate to say this, all right, but I don't know what any of them were doing on Saturday. I'll give you a good example of okay, what? And a true what moment. Just something really simple, really really simple. So let's go with like what is a simple thing. All right. When Guy hits the first three-pointer late, and what a great shot that was, you could see on TV the clock is running. You know, it's when I mean running, it kept running enough where my first thought was, wow, they got to check the clock. I think it stopped at 6.5. I thought, I looked at it, I said, well, that's got to be about 7.4. Said it to the people I was sitting with in the room. I said, the clock should be at 7.4. How long did it take for CBS to recognize the clock needed to be changed? Seriously, how long did it take? 90 seconds? 2 minutes? Before they recognize that, you know, well, they're going to have to put some time back on the clock. Well, guess what? That's one of the first things you need to think about when you're doing this. It has to be one of the first things you think about. Why? Why do you have to think about it right away? Because now it's the end of the game, and every tenth of a second is critical. Guess what? They don't put the .9 back on the clock, Sean. Guy doesn't get the shot off in time. You know that? So I don't know what they were thinking, who was doing what. I have no idea. I don't know. But it took them forever to recognize the clock needed to be changed. Now, if you're doing games all the time, and Raff, of course, does, you'd be thinking about it. The others don't do enough games. They just don't. This can't just waltz in, do the tournament, here I am. You got to do some games. it's, you know, it. So there, a lot of things weren't right with what they were doing.
Plus, I'm just curious how much the NCAA had to the cost for those curtains to cover the glass. I mean, when you're looking at that place, you think there is no glass in there at all.
Well, actually, the organizing committee had to pay for it, $4.5 million.
Wow,
$4.5 million for curtains. The NCAA did not have to pay for it. The organizing committee had to pay for it.
Hopefully they allotted that in their budget.
Well, it's part of what you're doing there. And they're going to have to do the same thing probably next year when wrestling goes in there. Now, as for the games and tonight's championship game, it might be one of those first team to 50 games, although I think both the winning number will be just above 60. The ratings for CBS this year are higher than they were for TBS last year. Remember, on Friday, I established that's the way it was going to be. Just natural, going from cable to over the air, it's always going to be higher. So the ratings were going to be higher no matter what, but the ratings are lower than 2017. Virginia and Texas Tech have nothing to do with what I'm about to say here. Zero. It is the job of Tony Bennett to figure out the best way for his team to win and then execute it. It is the job of Chris Beard to figure out the best way for Texas Tech to win and to have his team execute it. That's their job. Their job is not to be entertainers and put on a show for you. It's not their job. Their job is to figure out a way for their teams to win. But aesthetically, especially the second game, the Michigan State-Texas Tech game, was not an aesthetically pleasing game to watch. We always hear this story, defense wins championships. Yeah, for the most part, that's true.
Yeah, but when you're looking at total points going to halftime and you're close to 50 points combined,
right, but this is my point. This is my point, though. This is my point. When your team is playing great defense, you love it. All those great defensive teams that the Steelers had over the years, right? All they were great. All of them were great defensive teams over the years, right? All those great Penn State teams. Oh, Penn State. Oh, we're known for our defense. Nobody wants to watch it, though, unless it's your team. If it's your team, you love it. If it's your team, you love it.
Is it an unfair view if you have both teams out there playing great defense and you just cop out and said, oh, man, both teams offensively are just not lighting it up tonight?
Well, it depends, okay? And I'll tell you why it depends. Let's start with this. There are... How do I say this? Okay, if it's your team playing defense, you love it. That's your... Okay? I love how our team plays defense. But nobody else in the country wants to watch you play defense. They want to see some points. Now, they don't mind seeing, for example, like Owens blocking shots with all that athleticism. Believe me, it's an act I've seen in person. Remember, he was at St. John's. Penn State beat St. John's in the Garden 2 years ago, and Owens played. And the... But there's another part to this. Virginia and Texas Tech don't foul. Yes, they do. Call them. I mean, how many fouls do you think were called in the Texas Tech Michigan State game that should have been called? I can think of a dozen plays right away where there are fouls all over the place and nobody's calling fouls. Call the fouls. Call them. I'm sick of hearing Wisconsin doesn't foul. Oh, they play great defense without fouling. I watch tapes like, I'll slow it down. It looks to me like they're fouling Michigan. Michigan plays great defense. They don't foul. Michigan fouls. Believe me.
So hunch feeling tonight. How do you think it's going to go? Do you think they'll swallow the whistles, or do you think they'll call it tight right out?
No,
of the gate?
I think out of the gate they'll call it tight. Now I'm going to guess on the officials. I'm going to guess on two of them tonight. I think one of them is going to be Terry Weimer. I think one of them is going to be Ron Groover, the official who called Lamar Stevens for that foul in the NC State game, and then laughed at Pat when Pat got mad. He laughed at him. Like, Dick and I are like, what are you doing? But I think Ron Groover, Terry Weimer, and maybe Terry Oglesby will be the three officials tonight. And I think early in the game they need to call it tight. Establish some ground rules. Open the game up a little bit. There's a big difference between how Virginia plays defense and how Texas Tech plays defense. We'll tell you about that in a moment. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
A couple quick notes on the email here and also in the text message. It's a text. Did I see the suit at the game yesterday? This is from a guy named Bryce.
Suit and suit light with us. Yeah, they were there. Yeah, suit rocking the Harper jersey. Although I was kind of concerned, though, the logo and the pinstripes, they weren't really all that red. They were kind of more of an orangish, pinkish texture kind of color. And I go, did you buy that on eBay? And he said, yeah, saved $100. Yes. Like I said, hey, as long as you're sleeping at night, camper, that's fine. So, as long as you're happy. So, he was happy.
Made in Burma.
Could be.
What does that tell you? Should be a signal right away that it might not be authentic.
But yeah, just floored with all the Harper swag down there yesterday. I was like, wow.
And this one is another text I got. But was Suit Light, a.k.a. Rudy, at the game? It's from somebody named Reese. RYHS. Remember, I got your number when I was at Williamsport. Oh, yeah, I remember. All right. So,
I said to the nephew yesterday, it's like, yeah, hey, believe it or not, Reese Hoskins at one time earlier this decade, it was a short stint, but played in Williamsport for the Crosscutters. I said to him,
well, he played he didn't have a short stint, he played the whole year there.
Yeah.
He played the whole year up there. Texas Tech and Virginia are different defensively. They're both great defensively, but they do it in different ways. Virginia plays the pack line defense, and they want to lure you into taking a three-point shot that's maybe a foot to 18 inches further than you want to. Then they close on you. But if they let you drive, they take away the wings and the corners. What they do is they want you to take it and drive it straight down the lane. Well, guess what's waiting for you when you drive it straight down the lane? Five guys in white jerseys with orange numerals. They want you to drive right in to the mess. Texas Tech wants to force you to the baseline where they double you on the baseline and use the baseline as a third defender. They're different in how they do it. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades, finding their customers the right insurance, auto, home, life, business, whatever it may be, at the best price. Your budget's important. And if there's a claim, customer comes first. They go to work until the job is completely done and you get exactly what you deserve out of any insurance settlement. It is at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're 29 days away from doing the show at Penn's Tavern just south of Sunbury. We're 30 days away from the tournament. The Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Boy, is now a great time to buy a car. Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, we're talking just one more text from yesterday's game.
Oh, okay.
What is digital media, and what was that big dude trying to do selling it to me?
Was that from Gabe?
No, from JT.
Oh, okay.
said something about somebody was trying to talk to him when he was on deck. He said, I'm trying to work here. I texted him back. I said, not exactly a familiar concept to the one that was trying to sell it to you.
Well, JT capping off a great defensive play with McCutchen throwing that to home yesterday. That was one of the top plays of the game yesterday. I mean, JT on offense, though, he's still under 200, but sooner or later that bat's going to take off.
Oh, it's the first 2 weeks of the season.
Sure.
Talk to me in June.
Absolutely.
When things have settled in as to who's doing what. They're off to a great start. And the fans are responding. You were telling me Harper jerseys are all over the place.
Crazy, yeah. T-shirts and jerseys, even some, throwback powder blues with Harper 3 on the back. So it's just amazing for a guy who's not been with that squad, barely a month and a half.
Sounds like just in sales they've already made up for the first year of the contract. I talked about the great stuff in the game on Saturday. Now let's get to the calls on Saturday. Again, it's I'll be honest with you. Let's look at the opening just a little bit more in the opening quarter of this year. We have not been treated to championship glory. I mean, let's look at the college football playoff. Clemson blows out Notre Dame. Alabama essentially blows out Oklahoma. Clemson blows out Alabama. Not a real compelling game in the bunch. Now, in the football playoffs, the Kansas City game with the Patriots was just a great game to watch. May not have liked the outcome, but it was a great game to watch. To be honest with you, I know it went to overtime. The New Orleans-Rams game was not really a great game to watch. I was like, eh. And the Super Bowl, egad. Now you get to this. There have been so many compelling games in the tournament. How Virginia beat Purdue, how Purdue beat Tennessee. I mean, there's just so many. There have been some really terrific, fun finishes. I mean, just shootouts. That was just fun to watch. But once we got to this stage, the two games on Saturday, I know the one came down to the end, but were they entertaining games? I'm talking about, like, did you get 4 hours of entertainment out of it? Texas Tech from Michigan State was not an entertaining game. And
I'm always thankful for close games. I mean, something in single digits at least as you're going, you know, under the 10-minute timeout. Just hold me through for, you know, a good 35, 40 minutes, you know, so it doesn't turn into a blowout in the end.
Yeah, in the first game, the ending was compelling, but was the rest of the game? Again, when your team is playing defense, the team that you love, that you root for, it is awesome and it's fun to watch. You really love watching your team play defense. But when it's somebody else watching your team, they don't want to watch your defense. Okay? Rams played the Patriots. Nobody wanted to watch either defense, unless you're a Patriots fan or a Rams fan. And then the women's Final Four. I watched a little bit on Friday night. Neither game was well played. It was like, and neither game was well officiated. Jeepers cats. Who's the star for UConn? Katie Lou Samuelson? Does that sound right?
Yes.
Okay, ball goes out of bounds. Okay. So she's going to put the ball in bounds. Now, what can't you do when you throw the ball in bounds after it just goes out of bounds? You can't move. You establish a pivot foot, that's it. Twice. Takes the ball, left foot on the ground, on the floor, left foot on the floor, looks around, then steps with her right foot forward and then throws the ball in. Twice. No offense, that is a WALK. That's a walk. Like as obvious gets. But I'm looking around like, what is going on here? And then the number of times I saw feet shuffling underneath, I was like, it became unwatchable. I turned it off. So they're not going to call the game. They're just going to let them do whatever they want. I don't really want to watch this. Like, boom, done. That was finished.
I thought Connecticut had it in the bag Friday night. I was going to text, King Kevin about that. And it's like, I was kind of dozing off and on. It's like, wow, Notre Dame came back to win that.
No, but again,
about 7:50 to go. I thought that was locked up.
But again, I'm looking at shuffling feet under the basket. I watched the star of UConn walk twice on an inbounds play. Like I'm talking, like, when I mean walk, I mean it was blatant. Like, what's going on here?
NBA-ish?
No, not even in the NBA did they let you do that.
Oh.
I'm like, what the heck are we doing here? And they got a three on one of them. In fact, she hit it. And of course she hit it. She got to the spot quickly because she got a head start. I just shook my head and thought, what the heck is this? Now, in the women's game, they play quarters and have for a few years now. And they have it like the NBA where in the final minute you can advance the ball. And I've never liked that. I know it creates exciting endings. I never really liked it much in the NBA. I always felt you had to earn your real estate instead of being have it handed to you because you call the timeout. I know what the NBA is trying to do. They're trying to create dramatic finishes, and I get that. And the women's game has adopted that, and they're trying to create a dramatic finish. And, you know, because they did it, they create a dramatic finish. In the Auburn-Virginia game, and this actually came up in the Texas Tech-Michigan State game as well, where you didn't get a lot of whistles. And suddenly you're looking around and you're saying, they have fouls to give, and they're the team that has to foul. Suddenly you've got to foul three times just to get the team to the free throw line. Or in Auburn's case, you had a couple to give, and you were trying to do it in such a way where you're trying to just slow them down. I wonder if college basketball needs to think about this NBA rule, where if you're at the limit, you're at the limit, there are free throws. But if you don't make it to the limit, you're allowed one freebie in the final 2 minutes, and then the second one is shooting. You always hear Mike Breen, for example, you'll hear him on the broadcast. That's their first in the final 2 minutes. To really take that element out. Now, there's certain things I expect when they do go with rules, and one of them is I expect them at some point to expand the length of the three-point line. I expect that. I think they're going to do that. You've seen it in the NIT the last 2 years. And I think that's going to happen this time. That they'll take it to the international line. The other one I expect the NCAA to do, the rules committee, is to, on a missed shot, recycle to 20 instead of reverting back to 30. The NBA already does this, where on a rebound, instead of getting a fresh 24, you get 14. Last year in the NIT, they put that, they had the rule in, but you do need the right software to do this. And I would expect them to put that. Those would be the two things that I would like to see them put in. It was interesting. I was listening to Jay Billis this morning. And he was talking about the one-and-done rule and how fans aren't bothered by the one-and-done rule for the most part. And he said, since 2007, the ratings have gone up. And he says, so fans aren't affected by one and done. No, because the ratings went up in part because the stars got to play 1 year of college basketball, thus they got to play in the tournament. So he wasn't quite, I mean, he, for the most part, usually spot on. That's one where I sat back and listened to him going, what the heck's he talking about? Now, in 2006, Zion Williamson would not have been playing in the NCAA tournament. He would have been gone straight to the NBA. So since 2007, they've had the one and done. Well, that you had a chance to see Zion Williamson play this year, and Cam Reddish, and R.J. Barrett, and players like that. But the NCAA needs to demand a seat at the table. Said, look, what you're doing, when they talked to the NBA, and Adam Silver, he said, look, you know, you've had this rule for years. We're feeding you players. And I think that they've got to be able to sit down and put something that has some common sense that says, A, let's use the person that would be, that everyone would recognize right away. If Zion Williamson, let's go turn the clock back a year, Zion Williamson wanted to go to the NBA out of high school, let him. But, and this is where they should talk to them, saying, but if a player decides to go to college instead, they should say 2 years. Thinking of the game, the fans. Now, look, I mean, let's face it. There's certain guys that have gone 2 years. I'll give you Deion. There are two great prospects that are on the floor tonight. Each team has an NBA guy. DeAndre Hunter for Virginia and Culver for Texas Tech. Hunter's just he's a sophomore. He decided not to go last year. Just like Smith from Maryland, everybody all season kept saying, he's going to go. You know, I did a game down at Maryland back in December 1st. And it was like, Smith, this is going to be his only year here, blah, 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 blah. Guess what? He decided today he's coming back. He's coming back. Now, Carson Edwards says he's going to go. Romeo Langford says he's going to go. Langford's listed as the 11th best prospect in this NBA draft. No offense to Romeo Langford, but after seeing him a couple of times in person this year and watching him on TV, if he's the 11th overall pick in the NBA draft, this is a very, very thin draft. He did not do anything all season that impressed me. Nothing. I didn't sit there and go, whoa. You see Gordon with Houston? Okay. Gordon played 1 year at Indiana. I'll be honest with you. I watched Gordon play. I went, whoa. You can see that this guy has some big time basketball tools. You could see it. Langford, I don't see it. By the way, do I think Romeo Langford's a very, very good basketball player? Yes, he's a very, very good basketball player. But is he an elite player? No. Now, could he be an elite player? Maybe. But that's one of the problems that we have right now. Is there so many people around these kids, football and basketball, other sports it doesn't come into play. But football and basketball it does. I understand pursuing dreams, and I understand pursuing money. But I think the biggest mistake that young people make when they get to this decision point is they don't bother paying attention to their draft grade. You have all these people. It doesn't mean, they're dead on perfect every time in terms of what they're doing. But when they give you a draft grade, their job is to be right. Their job is not to be wrong. Hey, their job is to be right. And so many players, no, I don't care what they say, I'm going. Really? But they say you might not get drafted. No, I'll get drafted. I mean, and every year these guys go undrafted, and then we do the post-mortem woe is me thing, and as you know darn well, I don't do that. That's, you know, it's, hey, you and your entourage made the decision. Enjoy welding. They don't. It's one thing to talk to a coach. I got it. You know, they try and help you out, give you some good information if they can. James Franklin works very hard trying to get good information. But when you're surrounded by entourage and family, and they see dollar signs, I mean, the people that do these draft grades are completely independent. They have no stake in the game except being as accurate as possible to give people the right guidelines to work with. And these people are not listened to often enough. NBA, NFL, all these players go undrafted all the time. One-third of underclassmen will be undrafted by the NFL this year. An even higher percentage in college basketball. There are only 60 draft spots. We have 150 underclassmen declared. Let's see now. At minimum, 90 aren't going to get picked. They don't listen to the draft grades. By the way, you were watching the Notre Dame-UConn game the other night, and of course, Agunga Wally, who hit the two game winners last year in the Final Four. I had somebody say to me, imagine saying that name all night. I said, I have. What are you talking about? I said, you know, her brother played for Wisconsin when Penn State won the Big Ten championship. No. Here, use that at the tailgate. But remember, in order to use it at the tailgate, you have to pronounce it right. Can't butcher it, okay? Don't butcher the name. So are you coming up for the Blue-White game?
I will be there, yes.
Are you bringing anybody with you?
I'll be working the game. I'll be working one of the gates.
So you won't be bringing anybody with you?
No. I'll probably be working the lower bowl. Usually the last couple of years I've been at the working near the escalator or the elevator near the club section, so...
But you're not bringing anybody with you, right?
Correctamundo, yes.
Good. All right. We'll come back with more in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance.